Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the character of God. Who is God? We come together, and how does the Bible describe the character of God through all of the Old Testament and the New Testament? We've been looking at, in the New Testament, some of the I am statements of who Jesus is. But in the Old Testament, it gives us some imageries or some characters to help understand our relationship to God and to the spirit world in which we live. The first thing that we began is looking at Jeremiah 18. And Jeremiah looks and God says, I am the potter and you are the clay. It talks about how God shapes and molds us through circumstances, through events, through other people. That all these things are coming together to shape and mold us. And we can see that if we look in the rearview mirror at the events of our lives. We can see how God is active in our lives. And we can see that even in the lives of the children. By having them participate in worship and Sunday school and getting involved, we can see that God is shaping their character. And we also know that as they grow up and they reach those middle teen years, we recognize that pretty soon other influences begin to take over. Friends and peer pressure begin to shape and mold their character. When we talk about our relationship with God, we recognize that God is the potter. God is the one who sets who we are and who we've been created to be. And so out of this imagery, we learn things like who is our authority in life? How do we understand ourselves and our direction in life? Somebody once said that there are always three questions that are always kind of pressing upon us, no matter where you are. You may be able to put them out of your mind temporarily, but there are three questions that constantly govern how we do things. Number one is, who am I? Who am I? What am I about? Why am I here? And the second question is, where am I going? We know where we are now, but where will I be in the future? What is going to get me? And at the end of life, where will that end up? And then finally, what am I responsible for? What should I be doing? What is life about? And it's in this imagery of the potter and the clay that we get this idea that God is shaping and is molding us. God is our authority. The second image that we kind of came away with was David's psalm in Psalm 23. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing else that I need. And from this imagery of God is the shepherd and we are the sheep, there's a sense of security. There's a sense of guiding. God is taking us somewhere. There's some place that God is moving us towards. Where are we going to be in the future? Well, God is our shepherd. So that even when we find ourselves in moments of darkness and uncertainty, his rod and his staff will guide me. We're never lost. God knows where we are. And so I want you to think about it this morning. Where are you in this relationship with God? Is God your potter? Is he shaping your life? Is God your shepherd? Is he guiding you somewhere? Is he watching over you? Do you have that sense of yielding yourself to his gentle hands? Last week we talked about people that for some reason in life, some circumstances happen and people are just broken and things just kind of fall apart. And so we talked about Jesus in the New Testament coming to the world that is kind of broken. And he said, he talks to the Samaritan woman at the well and he says, I am living water. There's a sense of our hearts are longing, are yearning for something to be refreshed, are looking for that deep water of refreshment, of passion, of being invigorated with life. And Jesus comes to this woman in the heat of the day who's drawing water out of a cistern that's muddy and filthy and says, I would give you living water if you would just let me. We come to this point in our lives where we look at the I am statements, and Jesus in John chapter 6 gives us this second image of who he is. I am the bread of life. We've kind of gone to this journey. We've kind of gone through this journey of being restored, of being refreshed with living water, but there's something more. How do we get that meat of what God wants for us? Instead of just being surface people, of just kind of going through, eating the cotton candy of religion, of just kind of going through the motions, showing up, taking just the bits and morsels, Jesus says, I want to give you something of substance, something powerful. And so we look at these I am statements. Jesus is basically saying, I am everything that you need. And everything that you need, I am. What are you looking for? What are those questions that are plaguing you about the future, about who you are, and about what you should be doing? What are you going to be held accountable for? Do you have answers to those questions? Are you willing to go deeper? Are you willing to finally eat something of substance and go deeper? And so we've moved from just that image of restoration to people that are willing to go deeper. And this morning, as you've come together, you have to ask yourself some serious questions. Am I willing to go deeper? Am I willing to understand the deep things that God has in store for me? As we open up the scriptures, we're going to look at John chapter 6. And at the very beginning of this chapter, they ask Jesus a fundamental question that we want to answer today, if we can. So let's open up the scriptures. If you have a copy, open it up to John chapter 6, and let's begin. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word by sharing together what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own. I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from John chapter 6, beginning with the 28th verse. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. So they ask him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me will never be driven away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But there is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Dear God, we have gathered this morning to feast, to fill up on your presence, to feel you in our souls, and to be nourished, and to be strengthened, and to be reinvigorated. We pray, O God, that in our time together, your word would work within us, that we would know that we have a purpose in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Carl Jung was a Swiss psychologist. He's a Christian Swiss psychologist. And after spending decades in psychiatry, he looked across and he said, the single neurosis, the single mental illness of the human condition is emptiness. That sense of void, that sense of without purpose, meaninglessness, that sense of no direction, of being empty on the inside. And as we come this morning, the disciples have gathered around Jesus and they're saying, now, what must we do to do the will of God? And Jesus says, this is the will of God, to believe. Now, that doesn't mean just to have mental assent. That just doesn't mean, well, of course Jesus is because I show up every Sunday. It means for it to become part of your core, to become part of your identity of who you are, of how you conduct yourself, of what it means to be a human being, what it means to be part of a community, to believe, to act out because of who you are, because of the values that you hold dear. Several years ago, there was a man that did a little short movie called Supersize Me. Have you ever seen it? It's about a guy that spent a month eating nothing but McDonald's food. And over the course of that entire month, he ended up gaining like 25 pounds. And his cholesterol skyrocketed. And many people felt that if he didn't get off of that food, his arteries would clog and he would be dead within a couple of months. And yet sometimes that metaphor of feasting on fast food is kind of almost a metaphor for the world in which we live. We want it fast and easy. There's a cartoon that I saw the other day of a man that was looking over and he said, if my life was like a fast food restaurant, then I would be cheap, fast, and easy. And I wonder when we come together as a community of faith, when they look at us as Christians, or have you ever had that sense, especially this past week, when I spent the entire week with Pastor Luke and talked about what does he do throughout the week? And how does he view us as North American Christians? Does he look at us as fast food Christians? They do it fast and cheap and easy. And Jesus comes into that world and said, you know what I want to do? I want to give you something of substance. I want to give you something with some meat. I want to give you something to chew on that really has value. And so as we look at this passage, we recognize that Jesus came into the world because there is an emptiness in all of us that needs to be filled. All of us are looking for why are we going through the motions? Who am I and what am I doing here? Where am I going? What is my life about? What is my legacy that I'm leaving? What am I responsible for? What is my duty for being here? And so we have this sense of being empty and looking for answers. I love this quote by Mother Teresa. She said, even the rich are hungry for love, for being cared for and for being wanted, for having someone to call their own. Everybody, it doesn't matter what your possessions are, it doesn't matter what your status is, everybody is longing for something. And so why did Jesus come? Why do we look at Jesus and say, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, because we're longing for something of substance. We're tired of eating the fast food answers, right? We're tired of the cliches from Under Armour or Nike or the trends of the day. We're tired of the housewives of Orange County setting the trends for who we're going to be. We recognize there's got to be more to life than that, more to life than just reality TV shows. There is an emptiness that needs to be filled. As a matter of fact, Jesus comes to the disciples and he says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Isn't there more to life than just the motions that you're going through? Isn't there something deeper that you want? Let me set for you something of substance. Now, in that early church style, that bread, that image of bread is a sense of an earthiness. There's something about it being solid, coming from the wheat of the ground, of coming to life, of bursting forth. And it was the common core staple of a meal, of fellowship with other people, of joining together about breaking bread. There's an emptiness in all of us that desires that sense of community, of being drawn together. And so Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If you're having those questions and you're ready to feast, if you're hungry enough, then let me give you the bread that lasts. The first thing that we understand from this metaphor is all of us have an emptiness. It doesn't matter who you see. There is an emptiness that is waiting to be filled. The second thing that really happens is by this imagery is that there's a banquet that is about to be revealed. There's a banquet that Jesus wants to reveal. Jesus says, as we remember, when he was being tempted, the devil comes and says, turn these stones into bread. Basically inviting him, take care of your own needs. I know that you're hungry. Break bread. Satisfy your own desires. And Jesus says, we don't live by just bread alone. We don't live just by the physicality of taking care of our needs, about looking the best that we can, about being in the best shape, about having the most possessions. It's none of about that. He said, it's about the Word of God. It's about something deeper. It's about a banquet that when you open up the Scriptures and you let that bread talk to you, you get to see the world in a completely different light. You get to see people in different way, not as people as competitors, but as companions on the journey to try and discover who God is. Throughout the Scriptures, Jesus consistently uses this imagery of God setting a banquet. He set a banquet, a wedding banquet, and he invited all of the people in, and they wouldn't come because they were too busy with other things. And this morning, we have to wrestle with that. Think about your week that just passed. Were you too busy to spend time thinking through where you are, who you are, and where you're going? I'm just so busy, I don't have time for anything. When people talk about sharing our own journey, about sharing the mission and the ministry of the church, and say, would you get involved? We often hear the same, I'm just really busy. I just don't have time. I don't have the skills. And we hear over and over that image or that parable that Jesus told over and over again, even in our own day and age. We're living out this story. And yet Jesus still comes and says, I want to give you the banquet, true bread, living bread that will change your life. And the question that we have to wrestle with is, are we willing to embrace it? Are we willing to feast on what he has to offer? I also think that what Jesus is saying here in telling us about the living bread is he said, we also have something that we can share. Bread was part of that hospitality moment when people would gather in a home and they would break bread and they would fellowship together. Bread in that early Christian church meant there was a gift that we had to share. When we have the bread of life in us, when we have that living bread within us, we have something that we can share joyfully. It has been given to us, so we feel free to give to others. When we talk about what do we get out of it, the bread that we feast on, that's about our needs. But when we talk about feeding others, that's a spiritual depth that wells up within us, and we're able to give it away. Bread for myself is a material question. Bread for others is a spiritual question. We have the gift of living bread, the bread of life to share. And what does Jesus say? Those that come and feast on it, they'll never be hungry again. They'll be satisfied. That void will be filled. When they come, they'll drink freely and they'll never be thirsty again. Do you know people that are surrounding that in your own environment that are hungering and thirsting for something deeper, something of meaning? And until they get tired of looking in all the wrong places, they'll always be hungry and thirsty. We are called as people to bind together, to share that story. We have found the living bread. We have found the living water. And it does satisfy, and it does give us joy, and it gives us hope. Finally, we recognize that we're able to share not because we're better or richer or more popular than everybody else, but because we know what it's like. And there's part of all of us that has to struggle with that compassion. Do you remember what it was like to be hungry? Do you remember what it was like to be on the outside? Do you remember what it was like not to have anybody at your side? When we understand that depth of hunger, then it's easier for us to go in and say, come with me. Let me share with you the living bread. Jesus came to the disciples and he gave them this image. I am the living bread. What Jesus was really doing is in the early temple, in the middle of the temple, there was a table that was called the place of the showbread, where every week new fresh bread would be placed there to show sort of the abundance of God's love from wheat to living bread. And it was in the altar. It was called the showbread. It was in memory of the bread coming down from heaven. And Jesus said, I am the living bread. This is an image of who I am, of feasting, of the abundance that God has provided, if you will only believe. And again, that does not mean just saying, I agree with it. It means I will shape and reorder my life in order to be like Jesus. The living bread. Are you hungering today? Is there something that you're wrestling with on the inside? A doubt, a fear, an anxiety? Who am I? Where is my life going? And what am I supposed to be doing with all that I have been given? The bread of life is come and said, feast, enjoy, be full and satisfied. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this day for the glory of your presence and the gift of living bread. We pray, oh God, that we are able to set aside all of our doubts and fears and to be filled with the joy of your presence. So gather us together as a community. Inspire and motivate us and shape us to follow you each and every day. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now continue to worship God. Let us give God our very best by sharing our tithes and our offerings.